Welcome back, friends. This is the Good Midlife Podcast. We are back to regular format this week after our NCAA tournament special edition last week. We're going to get to that. We've got some updates on scores and where everybody is. First, I'd like to say thank you to everybody for listening. We got a lot of great listens, have a lot of people playing in the tournament with us. So that is super fun. And I want to just say, one of the things that makes sports great is our connection with one another, and getting to connect with people, talk about the tournament is so much fun. So I really love it. The NFL did an ad campaign years ago called Football is Family, and I think it's greater than that. I think sports is that, and it really does connect us. So what fun hearing from people, reaching out, and doing this little tournament together. So very, very fun. Thank you guys for getting in there. You can continue to follow us at the Good Midlife Podcast on Instagram. You can follow Richard on Kenshin Crew on Instagram. We'll get to that. You can email us, thegoodmidlife@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Good Midlife. We're there. We've got a YouTube page now. So we're all over the place. And that's where we are right now. Now, with that, I mentioned Richard. Richard is, it's Tuesday. We're recording. He must be on the road. Where are you, Richard?
I'm in sunny Evansville. It's cleared off, and besides windy, it's turned out to be a pretty nice day over here.
Yeah, it's nice in Louisville this afternoon, too. 70 degrees, a little breezy. I just did a little bit of a yard work sprint. I got home, did a little yard work, and came in to record the show. So it's not bad. So I'm trying to knock out a few things before we get out of here next week. So let's go back to what we like to talk about, and that's what we've been doing lately. And Richard, as you know, if you listen to the show, has been on an eating adventure in Louisville, A to Z. I believe this past week was F. So, Richard, give us F, your restaurant, and review.
Yeah, so for F, we went to back to a true classic, or one of our go-tos. It's the first time we went to a restaurant that we've been together, and thought that we'd visit our friend Dallas at Fat Lamb, and it was always incredible. Food was good. Dallas came out and saw us. If you don't know, Dallas is up for a James Beard Award, and I think it was announced, it might have been announced today, or it's this week some point, I think, or no, it might be next week, I can't remember. Anyway, it's going to be soon. Very good food, very good atmosphere. I had the short ribs. Maisie had the gnocchi. We had the baked goat cheese appetizer and the truffle fries. So all good meals. It's always one of our favorites. We love it. Dallas is a great chef, and it's one of Louisville's finer restaurants.
It's a fantastic spot. Dallas is a very accomplished chef. He does some great things there. I think when we did our show talking about our favorite courses in Louisville, entrees, appetizers, etc., I think I had the goat cheese appetizer from Fat Lamb as one of mine, and it is one of my favorite appetizers in the city. The gnocchi there is unbelievable. Do they still have the squid ink pasta dish there? Because I really like that one too.
I did not see it. That might be seasonal.
I
didn't see it on there, but I have seen that on the menu before. But
it's really good. I can't recommend that place enough. It's a great spot if you're in town. It's in the Highlands, which is a cool neighborhood, and you can go for a date. You can go with some friends. The food is fantastic, and you can find something to get into before or after if you go to Fat Lamb. Now, Richard, have you been anyplace else in town that you want to shout out while we're on?
Yeah, we had a brunch on Sunday at El Noche, which is always a favorite. That was really good. Trying to think what else. I think that's really about it. So times.
All right, we had brunch 2 weeks ago, I guess, and we went to Big Bad Breakfast, which I like. We went to, there's two spots. There's one down in the old Lynn's Paradise Cafe building, and then there's one out here Brownsboro near us. So we went to this one because we had some other stuff to do. And it's the only reason I say this is, been there a few times to the one in the old Lynn's, and went before Bourbon and Beyond 2 years ago. And I got a biscuit, some kind of a chicken and biscuit thing, I think. And man, it knocked me out. Like I wasn't, I had a Bloody Mary with it, so I wasn't like hammered or anything. But I said, like that biscuit, I said that biscuit just fucked me up, man. Biscuits will fuck you up. And since then, I've had biscuits and haven't been messed up or, felt like lethargic. Like when I had that breakfast, I went to Bourbon and Beyond and sat in the sun, and I could not move for an hour. It was like I was dead. We went to the other one, and I foolishly ordered a chicken biscuit sandwich situation again. And damn it, that biscuit didn't fuck me up too. Like biscuits will fuck you up. Now I can handle. I don't know what they do with their biscuits, but beware. Now I had their chicken and waffle another time, which was awesome. And I was not lethargic
One of
after that.
those.
Yeah, something in the biscuits, man. I don't know what it is, dude, but it'll make you sluggish. So be cautious. It's really good. It's worth it, but be cautious. And other than that, we had a couple of weekends where we've done some yard work, but season opener, home opener for Racing Louisville FC and Louisville City FC the past 2 weekends. We've gone to both. Super fun. Great to be back at Lynn Family Stadium, one of my favorite places in the city. One of the things that I think Louisville does better than anything else is soccer. We're still a basketball town, don't be confused, but the soccer love and passion is very strong and growing. So it's awesome to be back in season with that. So with that, let's get to the season, the other season that we're in, which is NCAA basketball tournament season. And I know everybody wants to know how the standings are looking right now after the first round. And, this is like the Masters. You can't win it in the first round, but you can lose it in the first round. Right now, Danny Jones is leading the charge. He is in first place, and McKinley is in second place, but McKinley has lost some too many good teams. He's not going to win it. Danny can win it. We've got Jessica. She's sitting there in third. She's got a good team. Katie, my daughter, she's sitting there in fifth. She's in play. Where are we, you ask? I'm sitting at 11th. I can still win it, but probably won't. And Richard, you are 25th. You.
Yes, I was notified by Yahoo that my bracket is officially busted. I
Well,
got that email. That was a hard hit to the balls on a Monday when you get an email
yeah.
from Yahoo. It says status of bracket busted.
Yeah. Well, welcome to everybody. You've still got a potential of 153 points. You probably won't win, although I don't know what your picks are. Some weird upsets happen or something, you could shoot up there, but you won't lose. So that's the key. So who do we have that's in play to lose? Well, Coleman, I'm looking at you. It does not look good for you right now. 45 total points possible. You're in last place, and you don't have a lot to score. So that one is in play. Steve Crabtree, he's next to last. He's not going to lose. He's got enough chalk. He'll get through. Just above him, though, is our good friend Shay, and she's going to be on the show next week as a guest. She's going to have her first time guest, and if Iowa State doesn't get it into gear, she's in trouble. She could be on the show. So I think it's most likely Coleman or Shay. And that's how it looks. Now Cole is a good friend of yours, I think, right?
He is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
And
And we found out his son was actually the mastermind behind his picks. And he called me today again. We've talked pretty regularly about this and his concerns. And it's if he comes on, his son's coming with him, and his son has to eat one of the wings. So this should be interesting.
beautiful. This is awesome. Couple other folks of interest. Tommy, who was on our show, he's sitting at 11th. He's got 172 possible points. He's in play to win it. Elizabeth is not going to win, not going to lose. She's okay. You know her. She's my wife. Maisie is in a similar position. I think she's further up the list, though. She's in sixth place right now. So she's in play. She picked a very chalky bracket, lots of ones, twos, and threes. So she's got a shot the way this
Let's
tournament has rolled.
clarify those picks, Jim, just for a second. Breaking news. I'd like to point out that my wife selected the auto draft feature or auto pick feature. So she might have to come on and just have a wing or two.
That's awesome. I love that. I actually love the idea of competing against the auto pick feature to see if we can beat it. So now that I know that, I feel really good, and I really Nothing personal, but I'd like to beat her because I want to beat the computer.
Yeah, well, her brother is right behind her too. I'm looking at it
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
yeah, yeah. So David's right there too.
And my buddy Travis is third, and he is tied with my friend Jesse.
Okay.
So yeah, so
We
it's interesting.
podcast veteran, my stepdaughter Anna, she's in 11th. She's got Purdue winning it all, so she is in play. And we got a lot of other people in this thing that have struggled a bit. So fun things. Oh, I guess I should shout out Sophie, my younger daughter. She's in, but she is down around with Elizabeth. Can't win, can't lose. Just a donor at this point, but she's having a good time on a school trip right now, so no big deal. So there's our update. We'll update you again next week, and we'll know next week who can win it. Like, it'll be down to two or three people, and we'll know, and we'll let everybody know. And we'll probably know who's going to be the loser, honestly. So stay tuned. With that, let's talk about the tournament. Let's talk about the action on the court. And, I talked about this kind of being a chalky tournament. We've got all the ones, all the twos, two of the threes, very few upsets. We've got an NC State team at 11 that doesn't really feel like a Cinderella. There's just not much there. Clemson at a six, they're terrible, and somehow they're in the Sweet 16. But high-level basketball with really good teams, and I love it. Do you like this, or would you rather see more, James Madison's run into the Elite Eight?
I'll be very honest with you. It's just like when Kentucky went out in the first round, like they're now historically known to do. It's just like I just completely lost interest. That's sad. I mean, I do watch it and it is fun to watch, but it's just like it's hard to get motivated when there's so much promise for the season. I think I like upsets. It's just like, but I also like to see good teams play because the Cinderella is a great story, but eventually they're going to run into a buzzsaw, most likely. And St. Peter's did it a couple of years ago. They beat us. Then they went on and they got, I think, to all the way to the Elite Eight and just got buzzsawed. So it's interesting in that regard. I want to see good basketball, and I'm not sure if we've had really good basketball this tournament.
I think we've seen some great stuff. Not every game, but I think we're gonna the Sweet 16 is gonna be awesome because, like we talked about on the last show, there's only a certain number of teams that can actually win the tournament. And when you have Cinderella's run, they knock out teams that can win. But now we've got almost every one of those teams that we talked about that could win it playing this weekend. The only one that got knocked out that I thought could win was Auburn. So we've got really high level stuff. I thought that Houston Texas A&M game late Sunday night was unbelievable, man. That was a good one. Tennessee had a good one. There've been a few that have been good, tighter basketball games, but I'm ready for this weekend. Gonzaga, Purdue, Tennessee, Creighton. I mean, buckle up. We're gonna have some really good stuff this weekend. So I'm pretty pumped for it, and I think this is going to be a really good weekend of high-level basketball. On the other side of that coin is low-level basketball, which is what we've seen at Kentucky the last little bit. And I don't want to belabor it. I know we both kind of want to say our piece on this because we are a Kentucky show and we're fans. But I think I'll just open it up to you, Richard, and just let you say what you want to say about what's happened with the season, about where we're going, what do you think should happen with Coach Cal, and I'll chime in and then we'll jump off into something else.
As I mentioned before, it was very heartbreaking last Thursday. I meant to see another Cal team peter out. It's been the norm as opposed to the exception, which is frustrating because the team just I meant the team that just whoop I meant basically whooped Tennessee at home, then failed in the SEC tournament, and then basically did not know how to play basketball in the NCAA tournament. I don't think they'll fire Cal. I'm kind of watching my phone to see if something we got reported by now, but I don't think anything's going to get reported until today. It's probably, if I had a guess, probably Thursday. I don't think they'll fire him. I think they will clamp down on him pretty hard. My biggest thing is I am tired of hearing Cal's like excuses. He said the SEC tournament was not important. That is wrong. I mean, it's like it builds on momentum. It's just like that kind of horseshit conversation has to end. And it's just like, and if it doesn't, he needs to go find someplace else to work, because the SEC, all tournaments matter. All games matter. Everything matters. Like a game maybe in January doesn't matter as much, but going down the road, it's just like the SEC definitely matters because it builds momentum going into the NCAA tournament. Everybody's prepared. Everybody's on the same mission. When you lose the first round, you have a lot of time to sit around and wallow. So if Cal can't get it done, they need to find somebody who can. I think Cal's above the program. His narcissism, his arrogance, his ego, whatever you want to call it, it's just out of control. And it's time for UK athletic department to bring the basketball team under the fold and get it right. If it can't, then next year, like I give him one more year and say, here are the stipulations, here are the rules. Here are your requirements. It's stop getting one and dones and go from there. It's just like, yes, I love the one and dones. I love the big recruiting classes, but Cal's got to change his format. That worked 10 years ago. It's not working right now. He's got to get, it's just like, start going after 4-star players and develop them and play them. I think there also needs to be changes in the coaching staff, because a lot of those coaches do not know how to coach defense or coach, period. So that's my rant for this Tuesday night.
All right. I'll go with a couple of things here with that. And I agree with you 100% about the tournament stuff. And this is, we've heard all kinds of stats. The most telling one to me actually there's two. One is Kentucky in its last 10 postseason games, SEC tournament and NCAA tournament, they're 2-8, which is terrible. What makes it worse is they were favored in every single one of those games. How does that happen? Now, admittedly, Kentucky is going to get a little bit of a bounce in terms of money, Vegas odds and things like that, because of the name on the front of the jersey and then the Kentucky money that'll pour in there, because people will bet Kentucky. But favored in every game and you're only 2-8. Here's another one. And I know we talked about the 2-8 stat. I don't know if you've heard this one yet, Richard, but in the games where Kentucky has lost in the NCAA tournament under Cal, so their last game of the tournament when they lost, whether it was West Virginia or Wisconsin or St. Peter's or North Carolina or Auburn, they have been a favorite in every single one of them except for one. The only one they were an underdog was the 2017 Elite Eight when they lost to North Carolina in an epic Elite Eight game. But otherwise, they've lost as a favorite every single time they bowed out of the tournament. So, again, that's money. That's Vegas stuff. But sometimes you got to win as a favorite. Like, you're favored for a reason. So, really frustrating. They're going to keep Calipari. He's going to be back. Everything that you said is true from what I hear, which is they will, there are going to be some changes required. I know of at least one coach who I'm 95% certain is going to be let go. And past that, I don't know what they'll do with the coaching staff. Heard some stuff today about potential players coming back or whatever, but we'll see. We'll see. It's frustrating, you know. We've had to listen to Cal the last couple of years with November,
bullshit
December.
Us.
Well, with November, December, January, February losses, talking about this team being built for March. And that's all fine. But when you say that, when March gets here and you've got these freshmen who've not been through it, it puts a ton of pressure on these kids. So, like, I would say maybe the games in January should mean more. Maybe the games in November and December should mean a little bit more. Like, don't just blow them off. And then, you know, it's not any coincidence that the two dudes who played the best basketball in that game against Oakland were the two fifth and sixth year seniors in Antonio Reeves and Trey Mitchell. Like, they were dudes who had been there before. And I want to talk about Antonio Reeves for a second here, because this is a dude who just put up one of the best seasons we've ever seen at Kentucky. And it kind of went under the radar. Like, that dude is a warrior. He left his ass. He died in his boots on the floor, really. He was so good in that Oakland game. So, you know, I think there's something to be said for bringing some dudes in who are a little bit older, a little bit bigger. He talked about it on his radio show last night, last one of the year. He talked about how we need some guys who are a little bit older and a little bit more physical, because the game has changed with the transfer portal and NIL, and people are staying longer. So we'll see. It's going to be hard to get back up for it, but by the time they tip off in November, we'll be excited and skeptical, and we'll be talking about it some more. So, and you know, until then, we'll watch the tournament and hope the basketball is really good, and you know, hope our friends at Duke lose to Houston this weekend and keep on going. So, if you have a favorite team, I hope they have a great rest of the tournament. I wish them luck, unless they're Duke, and we'll go from there. With that, I want to talk about something because I've thought about this. I love this tournament so much. And on Friday after Kentucky lost, I wanted to punch the TV, right? Like, I turned it on Friday and I was like, oh, I'm so mad. But then I got watching and we went out and watched the game with some friends. And so I got back on it and watching great basketball. We're following Purdue closely because we have a student there. The Tennessee game was good. The Houston game was good. I think this is my favorite sporting event. And so with that, I asked you and I asked some of our other friends and contributors, what are your top five favorite sporting events? And they can be anything. And so I'll turn it over to you and let you go with what are your top five?
Well, I would say the national championship or the NCAA tournament is one of them. I would also, it'll be interesting to see how the new format for the football NCAA football or whatever we're calling
it. Yeah, that'll throw a new wrinkle into it. I
love college football. I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, it's just like that championship weekend is good. Then like at the conference level is really good. And then kind of that whole like period is really good. I think the World Cup is really good. I think the World Cup is one of my favorite ones. I'll say this. I think the World Series, I did it by like what day would be good at a certain event. I bet the seventh game of the World Series is always a good one. And I know you said events, so I kind of cheesed out a little bit. And then I would also say the Masters is incredible when it's really good and it's coming down the wire towards the end of it. I'm not a golfer. But I've watched enough Masters where it's like it came down to Sunday and it was incredible. And I also think the Kentucky Derby, I got to be a homie a little bit and say the Kentucky Derby is a pretty fun event overall.
Yeah, I like that list. I ranked mine. Number five, I had a hard time. The World Series, I lean towards the World Series because I love it. Now, the thing is, as I'm older, I don't watch as much baseball. And if two teams I don't like are playing, you know, if it's not somebody I like, I really have not watched it much in the last few years. But if we get to a game seven, it's really fun. So five is either that one or the Summer Olympics because I love swimming and track and field. And that is really elite, high-level competition. Swimming at the Olympics is electric. I just love it. I love it. Those are kind of like my tie for fifth. Fourth is the Super Bowl. And I think because the games have become really good, the Super Bowl used to not be competitive often, and now it is. And it's an event, and you have parties, and we all look forward to it. And it's kind of like a celebration of the last day of football season. So I love everything around that. Now, 20 years ago, I would have told you before the Super Bowl became super competitive every year and you were having a lot of blowouts, I would have said conference championship weekend was better because you got better football.
Yeah. Most definitely.
The Super Bowl is good football, I the Super Bowl has really grown into the event that it is.
Well, but I will say this. I think you could still make the argument for conference play because, like, the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Bengals have been in some wars the last couple of years. Yep. It's been fun. It's really good football.
I do like the NFL. That was a really hard decision leaving that off. But it's like, I think the problem with it, like Super Bowl is it's just gotten so bogged down and takes so long and there's not much football. It's more about it's the production of it. And it's like, I that's why I like the conference games a little bit better.
I get that.
And I will say this with the college football, they need to move the championships to Saturday.
For sure.
Like, because that would make it even better. Cause then you could enjoy it instead of a random Monday night
or Tuesday.
Like,
yeah.
Cannot stay up until the wee hours of morning watching a football game.
Yeah. So that's tough. I do get your point about the Super Bowl being long and drawn out, and I think that really underscores just how quick the game moves in the NFL. You know, college football games take a little bit longer, but the NFL is really pretty fast paced. The clock runs, and it doesn't take all that long to play that football game. So you're right. There's a lot of stuff other than football going on. Yep. Number three and two, I will go back and forth. I'm going to go World Cup three. I love it. Every 4 years, it's one of my very favorite things. I've always loved it, kind of a nerd about it. Number two, though, is an annual event, and that's going to be the Kentucky Derby. I just love it. I love, again, that's being a homer. If I lived in Nebraska, I would not care about it, but I don't. I live in Louisville, and the epicenter of horse racing. So I love it. It's my favorite, one of my favorite things. And number one,
I think the whole Triple Crown, too.
Yeah.
To add to it, like that, like going to parties for like the Belmont or the Preakness, or I mean, those, that's fun. I mean, it's like, especially, it gets really interesting when I would consider the, I'd love the, if it's a Triple Crown year where it's just like,
yeah,
you're going in like, and the third race is going to dictate it.
That That's makes so fun.
And that changes the whole scope of that.
Yep, sure so, does. Yeah. Sure does. And it's awfully fun. Awfully fun. And with that, number one for me is the NCAA tournament. We get 3 weeks of great basketball, high-level basketball. Traditionally, Kentucky is in that. And so that helps me like it more, too. So,
and I'll say honorably mentioned, or honorable mention, I would have to say the Stanley Cup. And again, I'm not a big hockey fan, but when that is good, that is really good sports.
Dude,
and it's tense and it's fun. It's, I mean, it's just like, I remember, I mean, when the Rangers were playing in the 90s and it was, they were always close matches and it was, that was fun to watch. And I enjoyed that immensely.
So, I am a hockey fan. I've watched a lot of it and I love it. And you're right. Playoff hockey is really, really fun to watch, especially when you've got two good teams going at it over a 7-game series. And when you start getting into overtimes and they drop the puck on the third overtime, right? Like, you know, you're finishing the sixth period of the night, man, it's hard. It's just hard. And those guys go after it. So that is a really good thing to watch. It's a great call. I love hockey. I love playoff hockey. So that's really good. So we'd love to hear what anybody else has to say. If you love something, let me know. I'd love to hear it. We'll bring it up on the show. Like I said, I talked to some friends and they all had the same sort of things to say as we did, just in some different ranking orders, most of them. I'll tell you something that is not a fun sport, and something that I will not put in my top five, and that would be the Westminster Dog Show. Are you a fan of dog shows, Richard?
No.
Have you ever been to a dog show?
No, I haven't. I can't. It's just like I've been waiting 2 weeks to hear this breaking news from the dog show.
Listen, this is another reason I'm pissed about the Cats, because they lost Thursday. We were supposed to go out and watch the game with friends on Saturday, but that didn't happen. So Elizabeth said, I kind of want to go to the dog show. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, there's a dog show at the fairgrounds. And it's this Kentuckiana dog show. It's a big thing. It's an American Kennel Club sanctioned dog show. So we go over, we roll up. I've never been to this. And I thought maybe we were going to be in some bleachers or something and we could look down at what's happening. And we pull in and there's all kinds of dogs just outside, you know, taking a walk, you know, using the bathroom. One of the dogs looked just like a mop, like you'd see at a dog show. And it was awesome. It looked kind of cool. I'm kind of excited about this. And we noticed this is a big deal. Like there are cars in the parking lot from Oregon and, you know, Canada and Michigan, and there's like, so I mean, which makes sense once we got in there, because there were a ton of dogs, ton of different breeds, and so it would make sense there weren't that many people showing Bernese Mountain Dogs in Kentucky and Indiana. So anyway, we get in there, it's kind of a cluster, Richard. They've got, like, you know, you've seen them with the dogs, they walk them out there and they walk them and they're in the little square situation, and they've got about 30 of these, you know, fenced in areas, and it's really crowded, and there are vendors selling all manner of gaudy stuff. Like they've got some leashes and stuff, but they've also got like jewelry and bedazzled collars for dogs. It was weird. It was weird, man. And here's what I think. I think dog show people don't have good time management, because they were running everywhere. I don't know how you're running everywhere. Like you know your dog starts at 3, you need to be there at 3. But I almost got knocked over by multiple people who were like, get out of my way, and they were kind of jerks about it. So it was weird. There were some weird people. They all had on bad shoes. I saw, literally, hand to God, I saw a woman that looked like Tracy Morgan. That was the best part of the day. That was awesome. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a dog show dude. We watched them a little bit. I don't know what I was looking at. Like, I saw dogs. I don't know which one was good or bad. There was no real structure to, you know, this dog is the champion. This is the best one. We're going to trot it out here and put the ribbon on it. There were awards handed out, but kind of like off to the side, like, hey, are you guys the number one? It was weird. It was weird. And I would pass on the dog show. So, and I like dogs. I have a dog, but I would pass on the dog show. I don't know. Do you have any questions about the dog show before I jump off of this?
You know, is it anything like Best in Show?
Yes, a little bit. You can see where Best in Show got its parody. In fact, we were sitting there like, we need to go home and watch Best in Show. Let's go home and watch this after the dog show. Now, we were going to the Racing Louisville soccer game, so we didn't go straight home, and we ended up just, you know, chilling out after we got home. But it is, you can see where Best in Show gets it. Like, because, I mean, like, these people, this is their life, man. And, you know, a lot of them had multiple dogs, and there were puppies, and it was, dude, it's a world. It's not one I live in. It's a world, man. It's something else. Something else. So yeah, totally can see Best in Show. Makes me want to rewatch it. That is literally the best thing to ever come out of a dog show, in my opinion. And with that, I'll jump off of that. I just wanted to talk about the dog show. I wanted to rant about the dog show. I've done it. I'm not going to do it again. Now let me ask you this question, Richard. Total gear shift. When you go on a vacation, when you go to the beach, when you're going to take some time off and just have a really low key, relaxed vacation, you got a week. How many books do you take?
I'm a pretty slow ass reader, so I'd probably just take one or two, maybe.
I'm not a fast reader either.
Thick books. I read pretty thick ass books. So, I mean, some might be 1,000 pages, so I could probably take one book, but I'd probably take one or two.
I walked in the bedroom last night, and we're starting to get our stuff ready to go because we're going on a trip next week, and I see 7 books stacked up with Elizabeth's clothes and stuff. And she's a big reader and she reads fast. EB_bookshelf on Instagram, check her out. But I was like, hey, are you really taking 7 books on vacation? And she said, well, I was thinking about it, but I have my Kindle too. I was like, we can probably pare that down, don't you think? Like over a book a day? She just laughed, and she's like, I know I have a problem. I've never seen anybody want to take 7 books on a week's vacation.
That's some aggressive reading.
Yeah.
That comes into drinking and lazy time. Yes, you can read and be lazy by a pool, and I understand that, but it's just like, I mean, that's an aggressive amount of reading. She sounds like my wife. I mean, my wife reads a lot of books and reads them pretty quickly, and I tend to, like I said, read epic books that take forever. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. That's
it's a lot.
Books.
Yeah, 7.
It
we'll
sounds
see.
Like if you read River or Doubt, she sounds like Teddy Roosevelt. He took like a trunk of books with him.
I've got River of Doubt. That's going on vacation with me. I'm probably going to take 2 or 3. I'm taking River of Doubt. I've got a real short Agatha Christie that I want to read. And then I'm in the middle of another one that I'll probably take. And then that's probably it. Although I may sneak a fourth one in there if I want something different to gear shift it. But no more than that. And if I finish 2, I'll be in great shape. So I get it.
Yeah, that's 7 books is a lot. I mean, if you read this book a day, then I mean, it's just like, kudos to you. I am not that fast. And
no, it's awesome, and it's her passion. Yeah. So I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just saying it's a lot of books, and go for it. And I can't do it because at some point I really just want to sit on the beach and
drink beer.
drink my Bud Light lime and just look at and listen to the waves, listen to a little music. I might close my eyes and that's
pass out,
take a little break, time. Take a little break. Yeah,
have
yeah.
A few laughs, come out to the coast.
Yeah, so anyway, I thought that was interesting last night. So
hey, by the way, speaking of River of Doubt, which is a great book, and I recommended it the other day. I just finished Heart of Darkness,
oh
which,
yeah.
Have you read that?
I have the Conrad book, right? The old Conrad book.
It's apparently it's just like I'm a little behind on all of the classics, so to speak. But I was going to say read that next. I mean, it's a real quick read, so
it is. I read that in high school,
yeah.
and then McKinley, I introduced him to Apocalypse Now, and after we watched that, I reread it.
I was thinking it's just like there's a lot of good stories there. I mean, that's pretty fascinating. Like, and it's for an old book, that's pretty heavy. So
it stands up very well. That book stands up, I think. So that's a good call out right there. Next random question, Richard, have you ever had a pedicure?
No.
Well, I'm getting one tomorrow.
Is this to make your feet look pretty when you're in a bathing suit? I'm confused.
I don't know. Elizabeth has wanted me to get one. She said, I'm going to get a pedicure before we go to the beach. Do you want to, would you get one with me? And I'm like, yeah, I'll get one. She's like, really? You will? I said, yeah. She's like, okay, I'm going to book us pedicures. I'm like, are they going to be so scared of my nasty feet that they run away? Because I've got some, you know, I'm a man. I've never had a pedicure. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'll report back next week. All the ladies have raved about how good pedicures are and how much I'm going to love it. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to give it a shot, and I'll let everybody know next week. So
I'm concerned. I'm concerned.
Listen. I will literally do anything. If there's one thing listeners of the show need to know, and something you should already know, is I will pretty much do literally anything. I just, in the last 10 minutes, have talked about going to a dog show and getting a pedicure, and I'm probably going to eat the blazing wings with whoever loses. So I don't care, man. I'll do anything once. And so here we go. Let's try it out.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right.
And I might try the wings, too. I might do the wings.
That's going to be a fun show. I can't wait to do it. It's going to be a really fun show. Okay, so let's get to kind of how we wrap it up. What are you watching or listening to or reading these days? I got a couple for you. What about you?
Well, we started over the weekend the Palm Royale with Kristen Wiig. It's on Apple. It's kind of a who. I think it's leading to a whodunit. It's kind of. It has a Knives Out feel a little bit, but it's also it's entertaining. I wouldn't say it's the best. They could have tweaked it a little bit better. And I just finished a documentary on a submarine that sank in Argentine submarine, I think. And that was a documentary on Netflix. I am still watching The Tourist, still trying to get through that. I haven't been too good about TV watching. I'm trying to get through that, and then I'm going to go back to Masters of Air, and then I want to watch The Gentlemen. There's a lot of stuff I got on my list that I need to take a week off or something. Instead of reading books, I need to watch TV.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, so I've got a couple that I want to talk about. The first one, we watched a documentary this weekend called Beyond Utopia, and it's about people trying to defect from North Korea, and it's pretty fascinating. You would like this one, Richard. And there's a South Korean guy that's trying to help them, and you kind of think it shouldn't be that hard, but once they get into China, they've got to go further to the west and down, and they end up going into Vietnam and Laos, and it's crazy. It's crazy. And some of the
What's
clips
it on?
It's on, let's see, what is that on? It's on Hulu, I think. No, it's on one of the Apple TV. No, that's not right. I don't know. One of the ones that everybody has. It's not on an exclusive one. It's Netflix or Prime or something like that. You've got it. I'll guarantee you. But it's called Beyond Utopia. Is that right? Yeah, I've got it. Yes, Beyond Utopia. Check it out.
Okay.
Very good. And it's all, nothing is staged or recreated. It's all real clips. And it's North Korea is fascinating. And yeah, they don't like us much up there. But watch that and then get back with me. The Tourist. We've watched The Tourist season one. We finished it. I loved the first three episodes. And then it kind of devolved to me into something that was kind of networked. So I didn't love it, and I'm not sure I'll go to season two, to be honest. I thought it got a little weird.
I was like, yeah, it's only two seasons, so I figure I can finish it. But it's just kind of, yeah, I'm not, it's, the season two is kind of weird, and it's just like how it's connecting season one. And yeah, it's, yeah.
We started one last night or the night before called Apples Never Fall. I think that's on, I think that might be on, it's on Peacock. It's on Peacock. And it is a series based off of a book written by the same woman that wrote Big Little Lies. I think she pronounces it Lyanne Moriarty. And so it's in that same sort of lane. And it's nowhere near as good as that series. Kind of dumb in some spots, but if you a mom disappears and they're trying to unravel where she's gone, pretty good. It's one of those where if you need something where a husband and wife can sit down and watch something together, you can both find something in this. This is a good common ground.
What's it
show.
Called again?
Apples Never Fall. It has Annette Bening. It stars Annette Bening and Sam Neill.
Okay.
And it's one of the dudes from White Lotus is in that, and it's like I say, the cast is pretty good. The writing is questionable in some spots, a little dumb, but entertaining, mindless entertainment. And again, you want to find something that'll just go, you know, straight down the middle, where you know you can both watch it and enjoy it on some level. I think that's a good play for anybody looking for that. And finally, one that I love. And I got a story to go along with this too, but Elizabeth hated it, and I love it. And that Shogun, it is awesome. It is one of the best things I've watched since Game of Thrones. It is really well done. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That might supersede. It's just like I need to get through Master of Air, and then it's just like start watching Shogun. Like I said, good news is I'm home for a week, so it's just like I can catch up on a lot of this stuff. So maybe I'll start Shogun this weekend.
It's very complex. The characters are all good. It's all the storylines are interwoven very well. And like I say, it's one that you can't be scrolling on your phone for two reasons. One, because it's subtitled a lot. And secondly, you've got to follow along who's involved in what plot. So from that standpoint, it's a really, really good show. And I'm two thumbs up on it. Until I have one beef with it. And this is a funny thing, I think. I was watching it, and I remembered a memory from my childhood that I had forgotten. I was at a house. I'm not going to say whose house it was because I don't want to throw anybody's parents under the bus. You listeners do not know this person, so it's not a guest of the show. When I was a child, probably late 70s, early 80s. And I remembered that we found in the parents' bedroom a book of Japanese erotic art from the 17th century. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever heard of this?
Nope, I haven't.
It is called Shunga, Shunga. Google it, friends. And you'll see why I repressed this memory and why I was so startled when it came back to me. Because watching Shogun, something about those guys reminded me of this. Now, this art was done in the 16, 1700s.
Oh, wait a second. I think I have seen some
oversized genitals, gigantic genitals, and it's something. It's just something. So look it up. And so I'm watching that, and I remembered this, and I remembered having seen this before when I was young, and it was a little disturbing.
Impressionable.
Yes. How could you not be? Wait a minute. What the hell is going on right here? So check that out. check it out. If you have any Shunga stories, or if you're a connoisseur of that, I'd love to hear from you about that. And maybe just get out your book and look at that as you're watching Shogun, because I think Shogun's awesome. I think if you like that style of art, that's awesome too. So that's all I got to say about that. It was a moment. I was on the couch watching that by myself and thought, holy shit, I remember this. Wait a minute. Oh, yep, that's what I remember. With that, we're going to get ready to close. Well, like I said, next week, I'm going to be on the road, but we're still going to do a show. We've got a guest. Shay's going to come on. We're going to be vacationing in the same town, although not together. And she's been dying to come on the show, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it remotely. We'll set up a time, and we'll do it. And we might do this one as a put this one on our YouTube channel, because that'll be fun. And God knows what we'll get into with Shay.
It'll be fun. Could get sassy.
Yeah, that's the best word. It will be a sassy episode next week from the beach. So
buckle up, people. It's coming.
Buckle up. I'll give you an update on how many books have been completed too when we talk next week.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear this.
We'll get into that. I've got a fishing trip scheduled for midweek, so I can't wait for that. And one of my favorite things in the world to do. So I'm going to read a lot of books. I'm going to drink some beer, and I'm going to eat seafood every single meal that I possibly can, because when it's fresh out of the ocean, there's nothing in the world better than that. So with that, Richard, do you have anything you want to get to before we jump out of here?
No, that's I think I'm all good.
All right. Awesome. Well, fun to catch up tonight. We ranted a little bit, which we all need to do in stressful times. So I appreciate you guys indulging us on that. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the NCAA tournament. I hope you guys win some money. Somebody's going to win some money. Somebody in our group is going to win some money. Somebody's going to get a trip on the show to eat with us. And hopefully you've got like a cooler full of Coors Light sitting next to you when you do that, because you're going to need it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're looking at you.
Looking at you, Coleman. Maybe he has a Coleman cooler full of Coors Light to yes, that'd be great. All right.
What
awesome.
You did there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for indulging us on all of that. Thank you for listening and following. We are having the best time. Oh shit, I forgot to tell you this. We got a listen from Estonia last week.
Yes.
I love the Balkans. We don't get that often. Actually, it's our first Estonian listen, so. And our friends in Singapore were back. So shout out our friends in Singapore. I love it. So thanks to everybody listening. No, for real. We love it. We're having a great time. And I hope you guys are. With that, have a great week, everybody. We're going to keep living our best midlives. You keep living yours.